One of the most important topics right now is the pipelines, the Enbridge pipelines. Seems like Stephen Harper is going ahead no matter what anybody says. The most recent thing he did do was change the Environmental Fisheries Act, making it less stringent. That's not the first time he's done that in relationship to the environment, made the laws of Canada simpler, easier, so that corporations can get away with more. We should be paying attention to these things and standing up and saying no. But does Harper listen? He doesn't. He makes his own rules. He took a CEO from Enbridge with him when he went to China for the trade deals. That screams of corruption.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up. Every station is a gentrification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. But do we even know who plants the seed? You think the media works for you, but it's a job for them. They're just selling fruit.
The other side of the news.
Ignorance grows from the spirit like a tumor. Till freedom is a rumor.
Harper's not going to stop unless we make him stop. But people have to be aware of the things that he does. Monitor his behavior. We should be speaking out about the change to the Fisheries Act, the Waters Act, the Environmental Protection Acts. We worked hard to get those laws in place to protect our environment. But Harper is only interested in selling that tar oil to as many sources as he can take it. He wants it shipped through pipelines to the BC coast, down to the States. Nobody wants these pipelines. The tar bitumen is rough and it chews right through the pipelines. Enbridge alone has had over 300 spills and leaks. You have to search for a lot of small community newspaper and radios. Look at YouTube to see if a citizen has thrown something up there that tells you the truth of the story. One citizen in particular is John Bolenbaugh. He is from Kalamazoo, Michigan. He worked for Enbridge Pipelines back in July of 2010 when there was a leak from one of Enbridge's pipelines. It leaked for 3 days before anybody took action and did anything about it. Hundreds of gallons of tar oil filling up Talmadge Creek. From Talmadge Creek, it went into the Kalamazoo River. By the time people woke up and the press talked about it, even just a little bit, the damage was done. John Bolenbaugh worked for Enbridge. He made pipelines on the XL line. He knows what's involved. He knows that Enbridge bought cheaper steel from China to save costs. And he also knows and actually witnessed how the tar oil and the bitumen chews through those pipelines. He was crew boss for a large amount of people under him. He was taking direct orders on what to do to clean up the tar oil in Battle Creek, Michigan. The crew bosses were called in and told there was a moral issue. It was up to them to decide what to do, to continue or to quit. They were told there was no more time and money left by Enbridge to clean up this tar. There was too much of it, and they were going to start to cover it up. And then they told them how they were going to cover it up. And John Bolenbaugh, because it's his hometown, he refused. He was fired. He's been taking videotapes for 2 years ever since. He has done excellent documentary as far as a citizen journalist. All he has to do is put his camera on the stream of the Talmadge Creek or in the middle of a marsh or a bog. In winter, in summer, a few inches under the grass and the soil from a new park that Enbridge built for good public relations. He can show you any time how Enbridge did it and how they're still doing it. He documents the month and the date and the year. And yes, he's been posting as recently as last month.
I am a Navy veteran with a Bronze Star, a union member, and I worked on the Trans-Canada pipeline the first time. Everything was fine, I thought. A oil spill happened in Michigan, a sand tar spill, or excuse me, tar sand. And after about, I was the yard boss for a Canadian company. The yard, largest yard there was, I was in charge of it. I was a foreman for the Trans-Canada pipeline. I'm not just a normal cleanup worker. We were told to bury oil. We were told to put grass over oil. We were told there is not oil left in the river. When now they're saying after my videos, there's 120 areas that are full of it. I have proved over and over again that they have lied. I have made them clean up 12 to 15 sites that they said was clean already. I have cost them millions and millions. Well, now I have about 200 sick people, not counting the people that already moved away. And and they came to a meeting because I went to 1,400 homes like Aaron Brockovich, door to door. People are having seizures. Babies are being deformed, born deformed. They're cancer. People are dying. I mean, we've had like 10 deaths from this already. And guess what? There was a mandatory 1,000-foot evacuation that this Canadian company that I'm talking about did not tell the residents about, never evacuated them, never told them that they should evacuate. I'm telling you, they're going to tell you to cover up oil someday if you work in this situation. And you have a choice. 2,500 people was in my position. I'm the only one that came forward. I've lost my $2,300 a week job and my future. I have a whistleblower lawsuit for one reason, and that is to make them testify under oath that what they did is illegal and wrong to cover up oil. I am here only to protect my community and to stop Texas from getting hurt, because there will be a spill someday, and they will lie to you, and they will threaten you. I've had 2 death threats, 4 slashed tires, my brakes have been cut twice, I have a scar on my head from an assault, and I have a supervisor that assaulted me that says he has more money than I can sue for. It's gonna happen, your life will be threatened if you speak up, because these guys have power.
Our I-team takes on accusations of an Enbridge cover-up. Last July, a pipeline owned by Enbridge ruptured in Marshall, sending hundreds of thousands of gallons of oil into West Michigan's waterways. Now a former Enbridge employee is blowing the whistle on the company, accusing it of covering up oil. Tonight he takes us to some of those areas he claims are still soaking in the mess. News Channel 3's Aaron Baskerville takes the whistleblower's concerns to Enbridge, and he's live now in the studio with this cleanup controversy. Aaron.
Judy, Enbridge is firmly standing behind its policy, saying it's following the right procedures set forth by the EPA when it comes to cleanup. The company says some oil will be left behind right now because removing it could cause more damage. But one former worker is doing everything possible to get his story out there.
The creek's right over here.
A former worker blowing the whistle on Enbridge takes News Channel 3 on a tour of sites he claims still have oil, but the company is not coming back to clean up. John Bolenball still finds ice packed with oil and is making strong accusations against the company.
They were trying to meet deadlines. So what they would tell us to do is take dirt, put it over the top of the oil. They were telling us to take mud with oil and throw it into the woods. They're telling us to rake dirt over the top of oil.
And he says because he wouldn't do those things, he was fired in October after 2 months on cleanup operations. But Bolenball believes the so-called smoking gun is near Talmadge Creek in Ground Zero in Marshall.
As I just wanted to prove that this is all oil. It is all oil. This is not mud. Mud will freeze. But they put this canvas over the top of it. This is just plain old canvas. They put grass seed underneath it, and what's supposed to happen is the grass will grow through.
He's accusing Enbridge of using a coconut matting to cover up obvious oil, with the company having no thoughts of ever cleaning these areas up. The project director was scheduled to go out to the site with us, but said a significant issue came up, so we showed him our video.
No, that is not oil. That's sediment. Now, whether or not that sediment is contaminated, I can't tell from the video, but the individual does not need even oil. Yes. It's obvious that this was taken in a wetland area where the sediment is saturated with water. It's mud. That's what he's standing in, is mud.
So November 2nd, 2011, I just videotaped an area where Enbridge has covered up oil. I got proof that they dug it out. Got proof it's there now, 100% proof. Everything I've been doing is for this reason. I knew they were going to arrest me sooner or later. I'm doing the right thing. I don't feel guilty about it a bit. I don't feel bad about it. I am helping my community. I'm doing what the EPA will not do. I'm doing what our government will not do. And I've already been threatened with arrest by Enbridge, and I asked for an attorney. Didn't answer any questions, and he's going to get a warrant for my arrest. So I need you to all support me. I need you to come to the court hearing and back me up if you feel what I'm doing is right. I know I'm right, and I know you know I'm right. And I need your support. This is when you got to step up. You gotta actually do something about helping our community. You can't just sit back anymore.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show and doing this. And I'd also like to thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
And when did that spill take place?
The spill took place July 23rd, 2010. But Enbridge is saying that they're reporting that the spill happened July 26th.
Right. Now, how was it verified that it was actually the 23rd?
The residents smelled oil in the air on Friday the 23rd, and the same guy that smelled it on that night, which there was an entire restaurant and a golf course, Everybody smelled it. So Enbridge underestimated or lied to the public about how much actually spilled by several hundred thousand.
And just to remind the listeners, we're talking about the pipeline burst and the oil spill through Enbridge's pipelines in July of 2010. And the news that we got up here in Canada was that it was not getting into the Kalamazoo River, and then news sort of dried up, and our mainstream, our main outlets for news, actually reported it. All the oil was stopped, the leak was stopped, everything was cleaned up. But you found out differently, and how did you find that out?
I was a worker. I had no idea that they said that. 40 miles of Kalamazoo River is completely full of oil. It killed every single fish and thousands of animals that were alongside the river.
So how did they approach you, or how did you approach them, to be a cleanup crew?
Well, I'm in the union here in town, and I actually worked on the Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline a few years ago. And my entire family works for oil companies. And they're not too happy about what I'm doing, even though they support what I'm doing and they love me dearly. Their jobs are at risk and their livelihood. I've been overlooked for every oil union job that there is in the last year and a half since I was fired.
Well, this is because of the work you've been doing. But when you were first hired on to clean up, what did you notice and what made you change your mind and become, let's say, the camera vigilante of the spill?
Well, what happened was Enbridge put me in charge of a yard. It was the largest yard that we had for the spill. I had about 7 companies and 100 guys underneath me, and I was called a yard boss. Then they brought an Enbridge guy down to take my place, and I trained him. When I was done training him, I switched over to a company called SET Environmental, which was a subcontractor for Enbridge. And we just started cleaning up the oil manually, shovelfuls at a time, putting them in garbage bags and taking them to wherever they were, to landfills. I'm not really sure where they were taking them. That's another investigation right there. But we had a coordinator tell us to start covering it up because we had time restraints and we weren't being able to meet those. So they were telling us to put dirt over it. They were telling us to take shovelfuls and throw it in the woods. There was areas that were obvious oil they told us not to even touch, and since then grass has grown over the top of it, and it's still there, and I've proved it's there with my videos. So I started documenting the oil spill at that time. I knew it was illegal what they were doing, and I was sick to my stomach at night watching this. We had a meeting, actually, and in the meeting, our head foreman told us if it bothered our conscience, we did not have to cover up oil, but if we were okay doing it, we could.
Battle Creek, so that's where you were working?
Yep, that's where all the cereals from in the United States and most of the world. Kellogg's, General Mills, Post. A lot of people have gag orders.
Right.
Enbridge, when somebody's sick, Enbridge will give them money real quick. They will get them to sign documents saying that they're not allowed to talk about their health. They're not allowed to talk bad about any oil company or any affiliation to any oil companies. So I have a lot of people I've talked to that I cannot videotape because they're afraid that Enbridge will sue them. But the people I have contacted and got video of, they have had seizures. Some have had comas. We've had 7 people in one trailer park die, not counting other areas of the river. But this area was surrounded three sides by the river. So the fumes, and it's in a low area, the fumes are really bad there, and a lot of people are getting sick and have been passing away in the last year. The year before the spill, nobody died. The year after the spill, seven people have died.
Now, there hasn't been a health investigation into those people's situation.
Well, because the health department says that you can't prove that the sickness is from the oil. But if you look at the MSDS sheet from Enbridge, it specifically says that it will cause seizures, coma, death, liver problems, kidney problems, eyesight, hearing, asthma, lung problems, respiratory, spinal, I mean, some rashes, diarrhea, so many things.
From what component in that tar oil did Enbridge say would do all this? What did they call it?
Well, benzene does a lot of it, toluene. There are several chemicals that just in the oil itself, the tar sand oil, which it's about 82% more toxic, according to the EPA, than normal crude oil, there's about 20-some chemicals in it. And five or six of them are super toxic. Hexane, toluene, benzene, and hydrogen sulfide. Those four are really super bad for you. Now, this is another problem. There's a trade secret chemical or mix of chemicals that actually push the oil through the pipe. And the reason why they have to push it through is because tar sand oil is like sandpaper. It's just like asphalt before they put it on the road when it's nice and hot. And they have to thin it out. So they use all these chemicals and high pressure to push it through the pipe. The problem is it's called a trade secret. And they, by law, do not have to tell us what all these chemicals are. So when there's a spill and we are polluted and the people are breathing these chemicals in, they don't have to tell us what they are. So we really don't know how bad it is. And I feel really sick to my stomach thinking about all the chemicals I breathed in all that time. And the company just lies to us and tells us everything's fine. Who knows what's going to happen 10 years from now?
Well, you went out with a video camera, and one of the first videos I saw that was very impressive is the one where you put the shovel into what looked like a clear creek, nice sandy stream bottom, and just digging underneath that, you brought up all this thick, gooey, gobby oil.
Yes, and the sad thing is I found out by accident. I knew that oil was buried. I knew that it wasn't being cleaned up properly in several areas. But I had no idea that Enbridge was going to put nice, clean sand over the top of oil inside the creeks and in the river to basically make it look good from a distance. Mm-hmm. But yes, when you would dig down 6 inches to a foot, the oil was underneath what I thought at one time was just nice, clean sand. The creek was completely full. Now, Enbridge signed off on this area. It's a two-mile creek that went into a Kalamazoo River that was polluted 40 miles long. Now, we believe it went all the way to Lake Michigan. And the reason why we believe that is because we had a large amount of fish found dead after the spill in Lake Michigan, where Kalamazoo River goes into Lake Michigan. So we have some evidence that it did reach it.
You've got a lot of videos on YouTube. Are they staying up on YouTube, or have you been asked to take some down?
No, I've never. YouTube has contacted me because the oil companies have actually attempted to try to take me off. They've actually closed my Facebook accounts down before. But YouTube said that they're going to leave them up. Workers or subcontractors make videos in retaliation against me, making up lies. They really just lied in some of their videos. So I contacted YouTube, and YouTube actually took them off. I really am proud that I am a part of YouTube because it is the only way to get the word out nowadays if you're not mainstream media.
Yes, and a lot of mainstream media, as I said, two of our major companies up here for news in Canada had the same report, and I'm sure they said it because they got it directly from Enbridge. And, of course, Enbridge is going to say, oh, we've got it all, there's nothing left. But I wrote to both of these media outlets saying, no, you were wrong then and you're wrong now. And, you know, here's the places that you can go and look to see for yourself how wrong you are.
So a lot of these people at the beginning were waiting to get paid by Enbridge. They were expecting money. They felt fine. They had headaches and diarrhea and the basic stuff. But they didn't realize this poison in their body stays there, and it causes cancer in the future and other sicknesses and illnesses.
Right.
And so I've actually had doctors from the Gulf come, and Ricky Ott from the Valdez oil spill, one of the top oil chemical, I'm not sure what you would call her. She's an activist and a doctor, a biologist. Very, very smart and intelligent, and I'm very proud to be her friend.
I've heard of her. I've seen her on some of the alternative news outlets speaking.
Yes, and she, out of her own money, you know, out of her pocket, she actually came here two different times to tell the residents that what Enbridge is telling you and the EPA is telling you are lies. If you go to the Valdez oil spill, out of 11,000 workers, 6,000 of them got sick from this, and several of those have died in the last 20 years.
How many
That's
other government people have you approached?
But a lot of people, Enbridge and these oil companies in the last 10 years have gave $42 million to these politicians.
Right.
You guys got caught, and you know it.
It's John Bolenbaugh. This is Commissioner Todd, County Commissioner in Marshall, Michigan, where the spill happened. I have a serious question for you. Have I made a difference, do you think, in the cleanup efforts of the EPA and Enbridge?
Absolutely. One of the things that I mentioned during our meeting is that you being very necessary in order for things to really progress and get to where we need them to get. Sometimes it takes an individual like yourself. That's exactly what Dr. King was. That's exactly what Malcolm X were. That's exactly what Al Sharpton is now. I mean, those are people who were bold enough and confident enough that they were doing the right thing to make the difference in the lives of people. Because ultimately, it points back to people. You know, I'm the type of guy who don't like a lot of smoke screens. Just get to the truth. And so I commend you. I appreciate you showing me that. But just stay with the fight, man. You gotta stay in there because it's something you believe in, and it's the right thing to do. You know, sometimes doing the right thing is not the most popular thing, but it's the right thing to do. Stick with what's right.
Thank you. You're right. I know.
Absolutely.
Well, even though our oils are toxic, they're not as nearly as toxic as the stuff that you apparently encountered over there. So, The oil and gas industry, the dishonesty that these people possess and the things that they do that are detrimental to communities is almost beyond belief. And they have no compassion whatsoever. They have no honesty. They have no pride. And they're worried about the bottom line. The bottom line is the bottom line.
How long have you been a doctor?
Since 1971. Make it 40 years.
Okay, and when I tell you about all the people that had seizures and got sick in my community, is that from the oil? Because the EPA and Enbridge said that it's not, that everybody's okay, and there's no long-term effects, and don't worry about it.
You just heard my testimony about my patients, and I'm convinced that their problems are from the oil. And I had two people over here that you saw and heard that both had severe seizure problems, and you saw one of my patients actually having seizures that I'd filmed.
A crew from the group StopTarSands.org wanted to meet up with Bolenbaugh. They wanted to see the damage that the oil leaves behind when it leaks and when it isn't cleaned up. They know that the pipelines are coming near them.
Before he could take them out to a marsh, he discovered that his brake lines were loosened. He has a habit now of checking his vehicle before he gets in it. The irony of it all.
But he persevered.
We're confident that more of the people learn about the Gateway and Enbridge, the more they will see that we can build and operate this important energy infrastructure to diversify Canada's energy market in a safe, reliable, and sustainable way.
The truck was fixed. He took his visitors out to the bogs. If you stand and look, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful wildlife marsh setting. But when he walked into it up to his hips, you could see the black ooze coming up. He put his hands down and showed them what they did and how they pushed the tar down to the bottom of this bog. Within 2 feet or less, he found stones. He says what they do is put stones on top of the tar oil, and then on top of that, they put the coconut matting you can find at any garden supply store. Huge amounts of this coconut matting. It's very expensive. And then on top of that, they allow grass and whatever foliage was there to grow. You won't see anything. You'll think everything's wonderful. But if you just go beneath the surface, maybe a foot or less, the tar, black, dark, crude, sticky, is still there and it comes to the surface the minute it's disturbed. When they were walking out on this tar marsh bog, John was up to his waist, and his watchers could feel the whole area shake. It was like they were standing on some sort of rubber dinghy.
It's April 15th, Detroit Free Press. Use the newspaper, as you know, to document the date so Enbridge can't lie. Okay, we just came out here. Look at how bad this creek is. This is Enbridge's own property. EPA knows it's here. Look at all this. Look at how bad this is. I mean, the entire creek is just full of massive amounts of oil that our animals are drinking and dying from. And the deer you're going to give your kids this next year is going to have this pollutants in their body. There ain't no fish living in this.
No fish living here?
They can't. It's so... Okay, we'll let it sit for a second and rise to the top. Got a clean glove, everybody? Clean glove. Nothing on my glove. Okay. And then what I do is, this is what you have your people do this in areas where they find oil. It's oil. The way I prove it's oil, because they've actually in the past said, oh, that's mud, and tried to say I'm lying. Well, when I take mud and do that, this is how you prove it in court.
It stays.
It stays.
Mm-hmm.
See how sticky it is?
Black.
No, that is not mud.
Okay, now I'm going to teach you something else that you guys need to teach everybody else that does this stuff. Take a handful of mud. Boy, that, oh my God, look at that oil. It looks horrible.
It proves, in fact, it is.
Only the oil sticks.
Yeah.
And you always use a newspaper to prove the date. These oil companies are very intelligent. These are some of the guys. Chavez over here helps me out here in Battle Creek, Michigan. Where are you from, please?
I'm from East Texas. I'm Adrian Van Dellen.
David Daniel from Winsboro, Texas.
Ben Gotchel from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Chavez Russell, Battle Creek, Michigan.
These guys traveled all this way because they wanted to see what's going on here in this oily creek. The Enbridge zones won't clean up. Oil everywhere, and just grass grows over the top of it.
This is just part of our river. It was a 40-mile stretch of contaminated oil and water mixed together, and it killed every single fish in 40 miles. I was a worker. I worked from the beginning of the spill to the end of the spill. I worked in every area, and I'm telling you, there was not one fish alive. We saw thousands of dead fish. And I saw a dump truck full, like a semi, one of the bigger dump trucks, full of animals once. We're talking 500 to 1,000 animals. When they tell you that there wasn't very much life lost, they're lying to you. I saw it with my own two eyes, and back then, I just thought it's an oil spill, it's going to kill animals, it's normal. But when they come later on and say that there wasn't very many that died, I know that's a lie. And I wish I would have videotaped it. So, for those of you that don't know, this is Talmadge Creek.
That's Talmadge Creek. And then come over and this enters Kalamazoo River right here.
Then all the oil, basically 1 million gallons approximately, came right through here into Kalamazoo River, and it went about 30 miles, 35 miles from this point down the river. And the entire river's like this.
So just again showing you the canvas that they put over the top of this entire area, and then you see the grass will grow through. Do you see how it grows through?
That's what happened in this entire area. See? I mean, it's the whole area is like that. It's all through here, everywhere. That's how they cover it up. Now, this is 100% proof. It doesn't make any logical sense to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to plant grass over the top of something that you're going to redig up. They didn't expect me to come out here and make them redig this up. All right. So, you see how this all bounces right all in here? Can you see that?
Yeah.
The whole thing. It's all oil. They put that canvas over it. You cut around in a circle.
You feel this whole thing is shaking when you do that.
Yep.
The whole ground is shaking.
Cut in a circle. This whole area is just, it's all oil mixed with mud. It's all,
oh my God.
Goes all the way down.
Oh my God.
Stay back a little bit so you can get a shot.
Yeah.
And this is how they cover it up. And it's all through here. In the middle of the winter, I brought the press out here and I fell right through. In Michigan winters, you will not fall through, but there's so much oil mixed with it. This is where a lot of the sheen runs. If you come over here, you'll see all this. Walk over here, gentlemen. But it all runs down in here, running into the creek.
Yeah, right straight into the creek.
It's an entire place.
And you can see the sheen on the creek.
Everywhere. See? Underneath all of them. I have actual footage when I was a worker of this area. They were taking rocks. And right now I can hit rocks. They put rocks over the top of this and it goes down to the bottom. And then they were trying to cover up the oil. They put canvas over the top of this. And then they plant grass. This is canvas, everybody. This is that canvas. This is that canvas. It's over this entire thing. It's all canvas. And I don't like doing this.
Jeez.
The only way I'm going to get people's attention is to do this.
Think if you were a kid. Think if you were a kid playing right now and you fell in that. A little kid out here by yourself.
You'd be done.
You'd be stuck and you'd die. Because sometimes I've been stuck for a half an hour up to my waist.
Oh,
up to my chest.
I just sucked down to my crotch.
Yep. I am. My God. Yuck. Just depends on where you're at. Like, I can feel rocks underneath this. This is where they put those rocks. Rocks. All under this entire thing, they put all these rocks trying to cover up the oil. Now, how much oil is under those rocks? We don't even know that. This is just what comes to the surface. What is under the rocks? You can't, it's hard to dig. And they know that. It's a technique they use to cover up oil.
So you've got the rocks, and then the oil seeps through the rocks, and they put the matting on top of that.
Yes.
And then all this vegetation grows on top of that.
Yes. And you look, can you guys, from looking at all this grass, does it look like there's oil here?
No.
No, it does not.
So did what they do work?
No.
There's oil running into this creek right here.
Again, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Okay, watch this. I'm going to dig deep, and you'll see the oil. It's all coming out. It's completely under the river. It's super bad here. I've already dug a hole, and further down you get, oil just gushes up. They buried it. 100% proof it's buried. You see that?
So they just come in and they put sand on top of it.
Yep.
And when you walk up to it, it looks clean and clear. You dig down one shovel and it was already like this.
Right here's the Michigan oil spill. And this is ground zero, and these guys are from Texas. They're going to Washington, D.C. to tell the story.
it's a good story, and I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait for everybody to be able to know what's going on in our community. I really thank these guys.
And Nebraska and California.
Nebraska and California. And Texas.
All right,
awesome.
Let me get about a minute or two and find out what you feel about what you saw today at the Michigan oil spill.
My name is David Daniel. I'm from Winsboro, Texas. I'm fighting tar sands pipeline that would split my property in half. And from the beginning, I've always wanted to make an informed decision, but never felt I was able to make an informed decision about the product. Come up here, and this is ground zero to being able to make an informed decision about what could happen to us in Texas, to my property in Texas. This could be my property, and this is absolutely insane. It's literally nauseating. It's hard to stomach all this cover-up that's happening here. They've lied. They're lying.
Did they try to arrest you guys today? Was the cops called?
Yes, the Enbridge called the cops on us. Enbridge showed up as soon as we pulled up, within a few minutes. Enbridge was right behind us, and shortly after that, the police were called, and they were aggressive. They were very aggressive, and we were watching from the road. We were behind the fence, everything, and they came up and were quite aggressive. Took all our driver's license, ran the driver's license, and held us there for a little while.
And then they did the same thing with Michelle later on. They had three cop cars.
Three cop cars and a fire truck, all kinds of stuff. So yeah, they're aggressive, and it's all coming from Enbridge. Enbridge is been a little tattletale.
What do you think about what I'm doing?
Man, I think you're doing a great job. This is so important. This is so important for me, my family, and for everybody else that has to deal with just, you know, the corruption that's going on, that's right up in front of our face. That this puts our land, our air, our water, our lives at risk. And this needs to be known. We know the federal regulations don't govern diluted bitumen pipelines. They don't know how to handle it. And people need to be aware of this. People need to be informed about this and what's happening, so that we can force regulations, you know, the adequate regulations. But this will never, they can't clean this up.
You're going to D.C., right, after you leave here, right?
Yeah, we're going to stop in Pennsylvania. We're talking to a student group in Pennsylvania. Then after that, we're going to D.C. We'll be pulling into D.C. on Monday, and we're going to participate in the sit-in with about 2,000 other people that have been signed up to participate in a sit-in against the Keystone XL pipeline and the tar sands. The bigger picture is coming out against...
My name is Ben Gotchel. I live in Lincoln, Nebraska right now. I grew up on a ranch in Holt County, Nebraska in the Sand Hills, and the Keystone XL pipeline is going to come through the Sand Hills, and so I came here to Michigan to see what a tar sands oil spill would look like, and what I found out is that it's far worse than I could have imagined. What we have here is lies. The extent of the damage here is far worse than Enbridge said it was, and the extent of the cleanup is far more inadequate than they could ever even explain. What we have here is a cover-up of intense magnitude. This is a crime. This is a crime against nature. It's a crime against humanity. And we do not want something like this going through the Sand Hills, Nebraska. No amount of oil is worth it. We can't risk our land and water for this. We can't do that. And I'm going to do everything I can to stop that from happening. Thank you.
What do you think about what I'm doing here?
I think you're doing a great job. I hope that you can do much more. I will tell your story. That's what I pledge to do right now is tell people about what you're doing and try to help you.
Please, just get them to look at my videos. I've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours doing this so the world can see this. And if you want to help me, you show my videos to everybody that'll listen.
I'll show your videos. I took some of my own. And I'm a writer. I'm going to write the story.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
My name is Adrian Van Dellen. I live in East Texas, where the Keystone XL pipeline is proposed to be constructed. It would cross six river channels and many bogs, sloughs, and bayous, wetlands, similar to what I've witnessed here in Marshall, Michigan. I somewhat imagine what it might be like if we had a spill in East Texas. But the magnitude of what I've seen here is beyond imagination. I'm just stunned by what you've shown us, John. The cover-up is beyond reality. How they can consciously do this is beyond imagination. It's unconscionable. We as citizens need to rise up and expose this. And I'll pledge, like my friends Ben and Dave, that this will get out to the public. We're going off to Washington. Well, President Obama says we need to push him. We're going to push him. And if we have every chance, any chance we have, we will talk to the press about what we've seen here. John, you're doing a wonderful job. Keep it up. God bless you. Don't give up.
Why are you crying, sir?
Well, Ben said it's a crime against nature. I travel the river channels, and I photograph ecology. That's my job at the moment. I'm working on a photo book, and it's viable. It's live. It's still evolving. Any spill like this would set this back millions of years. It would never clean up. On top of that, it would be buried. It would be a cover-up. It wouldn't be any different than this. We can't risk that. We have also aquifers, as Ben has, sandhills with gorgeous water, freshest water on the planet. We have similar aquifers, and these should never be risked for oil. We have a better future if we go to a clean energy environment. It's doable. We put a man on the moon in 10 years. There's no reason why we can't move forward to have a clean energy economy. We need to tell Obama that, and we'll do our best at the risk of being put in jail. Needs to be told.
Thank all four of you for what you're doing. I very much appreciate it. And you guys are, you know, traveling across the country to get the word out. And you guys are important to me. What you're doing means something to me, and I thank you for that very, very much, all right? Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, and thank you, John.
This is the Enbridge Material Safety Data Sheet. Now, I got a guy on the inside that got me this. We've been trying to get this for months, but this is crude oil heavy. Heavy petroleum crude, heavy crude, okay? Some of the chemicals that are in it. And let me turn the page. And this is what's scary, okay? Ingestion. Ingestion may result in nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and central nervous system. And depression. Aspiration of liquid into the lungs must be avoided as even small quantities. Do you see that? Small quantities in the lungs can produce chemical pneumonitis, pulmonary edema, hemorrhage, and even death. Do you see that? So they want your kids to get in there. There's chunks of oil that still pop up that are in the mud. And guess what? If they swallow this stuff, it can cause death. Another thing, when they breathed it in for 2 months straight, some of them have breathed it in for a year, but some of the high levels were for 2 months. But it says prolonged and excessive exposure may cause irritation to the nose, throat, lungs, and respiratory tract, which may lead to headache, nausea, drowsiness, fatigue, pneumonitis, pulmonary edema, CNC depression, coma, and respiratory arrest. All right, you breathe this in for a long period of time, prolonged and excessive exposure, and guess what? Coma and respiratory arrest. We've had several people that die, and Enbridge has the nerve to say that nothing that they did caused any of that. Their own MSDS sheet says that could have killed them. I mean, breathing this in for months, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, for months. Enbridge, you killed people. You got them sick. Your company deserves to pay all these people millions for what you have done to them.
I had a security guard sneak me this. This is the front page of the security book. And he is sick and tired of Enbridge lying about me and making up things that just aren't true. He supports Battle Creek, and he wants Enbridge to clean up the oil properly, and he supports what I am doing. He knows what I am saying is true. Please call all these numbers. Do not harass them, but ask them questions. Why are they harassing me? Why don't they want me to find oil and make them clean it up? What am I hurting by making them do what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to clean up all the oil. If they don't, all these residents get sick from it, and it will get in our wells in the future. What I am doing is the EPA's job and Enbridge's job, and they don't like it. They don't like the fact that I am proving over and over again how bad they are and incompetent they have been in cleanup processes. It just doesn't make sense. So, look at these numbers, pass them around, call them, do not harass them, but ask them serious, legitimate questions. Why are they harassing me? And then here's the Enbridge hotline, and here's a spokesperson for Enbridge you can call. Write down these numbers, they're very important, pass them around. If you want to help me, this is how you do it. You get Enbridge to leave me alone and allow me to do the right thing for my community. That's how you can help me, including passing around the videos. Thank you.
The PAHs affect the fetus, the baby in the womb, and can result in high miscarriages or problems with the child. The delayed growth, stunted growth, mental problems as well. Elders. Our body is like a rain barrel, and throughout your whole life, that rain barrel fills up drip, drip, drip with toxic chemicals. And your body's doing the best it can to try to break these things down and get them out. But as an elder or as an older person, you can just get overwhelmed. You know, your body can just get overwhelmed. It's fighting this, it's fighting that. It's maybe fighting some other chronic illnesses or health problems you have. And suddenly here comes an oil spill on top of the ounce. And the spill can act as a triggering event where it can actually make other health problems worse. So, elders. African Americans, I'm really sorry to say, looking around the community here, because African Americans are prone to blood disorders anyway, sickle cell anemia, and the oil creates blood disorders or can make them worse. And finally, anybody with already existing health problems, because your system is already compromised and weakened. So this is like a no-kidding situation here. In the Gulf, we have hands across the sand. The symptoms across the Gulf, stuffy nose, bad headaches, sore throat, even blisters in the throat. Sorry. Hoarseness, dizziness, nausea, ear and nose bleeds. People would wake up in the morning with their pillow just soaked. Kids, adults, skin rashes. I have pictures of some of that. Peeling hands and soles of feet from walking in the sand. Blood in the urine, blood in the vomit, blood in the stool, blood everywhere, okay? Lethargy, fatigue, brain fog. That's something I haven't made, and I forgot, again, to put the eye problem on here, and diarrhea.
And we got the MSDS sheet. MSDS sheet says this will kill you. This is some horrible stuff. And it says a small amount in your lungs can kill you. So when these kids get in the river, and that's what I'm scared of, these kids get in the river when they do open it up, and they're in there and a couple chunks come up and get in their mouth because they can't clean it off. There's a chance it could kill them. And they can't sue because they've already signed confidentiality agreements and health agreements for $1,000, $2,000, whatever, because they got screwed. They didn't know what they were doing. And they signed this stuff, and it says for all future medical. So even if it's another situation where they get this oil from swimming, they can't sue. And their kid died. I mean, this is bad.
It's insane.
It's insane, and this is all about money. Right.
A place of untouched beauty, the only place in the world where you'll find the majestic spirit bear. This ecosystem, known as the Great Bear Rainforest, is under threat.
It's just a huge gamble for very little return.
The gamble is a $5.5 billion oil pipeline called Northern Gateway to be built by Alberta-based Enbridge. It would pipe a 500,000 barrels of bitumen from the oil sands to Kitimat, where it would be loaded onto supertankers bound for Asia.
The tankers will range in size from the Aframax category, a minimum 220 meters in length, to the VLCC, up to 350 meters.
It's all doable. I mean, it not only happens here, but it happens in Norway.
Authorities in Norway are struggling to contain an oil spill after an Icelandic cargo ship ran aground in the country's only marine reserve.
It happens in Alaska.
It sits stranded like a giant wounded animal. By this afternoon, the Exxon Valdez had leaked 265,000 barrels of oil into the waters of Prince William Sound.
It happens all around the world.
Oil has begun washing up on a popular beach in New Zealand's Bay of Plenty. A container ship carrying 1,700 tons of oil and toxic material grounders.
Right now, stories about opposition to Northern Gateway and Enbridge are in the media every day. And I'm going to tell you, they are uncomfortable. And they're sometimes frustrating.
Hundreds of thousands of gallons of oil leak from a ruptured oil pipeline into the Kalamazoo River.
This is a crisis that should have been prevented. It was created because of negligence by Enbridge.
Originally, Enbridge told us that 819,000 gallons of oil spilled into the Kalamazoo River. Today, the EPA said 1.1 million gallons has been cleaned up, and there's still more out there.
Enbridge's ability to deliver on a promise is being rigorously and publicly tested as we speak.
We know that that company has had a number of spills in recent years. Earlier this year in North Dakota, there was an Enbridge leak of some 126,000 gallons.
There were two major spills in Wisconsin in 2007.
A dozen leaks in Michigan alone.
Another mess on a few fronts here for
it's
Enbridge.
It's happened again. This time, it's in Illinois.
Another mess for Enbridge. Hard to believe we're talking about this so soon.
To weigh the pros and cons about the project, and to better assess Enbridge's approach to doing business, creating shared value in the community, and being a good neighbor.
Enbridge has until August 31st to clean up the rest of the oil. The EPA is confident the company will make that deadline.
You may remember EPA gave Enbridge an end of the summer deadline to get all of the oil cleaned up. Not only did Enbridge miss that deadline, we just found out today the EPA has found new pockets of oil that was kind of hiding along the river, if you will, 200 acres worth.
I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of acres. They put this canvas over the top of it, and then they plant a grass seed underneath it, and this grass grows up.
It's 150 full-length football fields of oil they didn't know was here.
It's all oil mixed with mud. Middle of the winter, I brought the press out here, and I fell right through.
The key, of course, is that the discussion needs to be based on facts.
It's October 9th. I just showed you the coordinates. We're at Talmadge Creek, and I'm going to just show you that they put sand over the top of the oil. Can you see how clear it is? You can see right down to the bottom. Looks really clear. I'm going to take some sand. I'm going to show you real close up. This is sand. All right. See, there's no sheen. The reason why that's important is because when I dig down, the oil is underneath the sand. Coming up, it's under the sand. It's not in the sand, it's under the sand that they put there. A massive amount.
That's disgusting.
Over the course of this year and possibly into 2013, the Joint Review Panel will hear hundreds of hours of oral submissions from interveners and stakeholders as they seek to answer two fundamental questions. Will the project cause significant adverse effects on the environment?
What was some of your symptoms that you had after the oil spill?
I had three seizures at the other house and two seizures where I live now.
And then my son actually had an episode where he looked like he was having seizures, passing out. I even took him to the ER.
I got migraines. I had a seizure for the first time in my life.
And is the project in Canada's public interest?
Grab a bait.
this is why we have to stop Enbridge and these oil companies from doing this. They're having seizures, and they're getting sick from this tar sand oil. Please help us.
And I invite you to join the conversation, which you can find at www.northerngateway.ca. Listen to the arguments for and against our pipeline project, and judge for yourself whether Canada is ready and able to take on this important next step to join the global energy market. Thank you very much.
You don't have to spend the time that I spend looking for this information. Just a few minutes on YouTube, looking for John's name, matching it with tar oil spill Enbridge, Michigan, and you'll find over 80 videos he's taken, testifying that the oil that was left behind is still dangerous and there is so much more of it, that all the fish are dead in Kalamazoo River, and of course the Kalamazoo River goes into Lake Michigan. Kids will be dying. The people in the neighborhood too poor to move were either bought off with a few thousand dollars and were forced to sign papers saying that they wouldn't speak up, come back after Enbridge. They didn't know that they would be sick a year later. They thought, since they were so in need of the money, that maybe they could just make improvements or move. They didn't know that the tar oil was still there and would still affect their health for years later. In fact, because of John's constant going to meetings and speaking up to council members and mayors and wherever he could talk openly, making it public that Enbridge finally went and cleaned out a bog area they had previously hidden. Maybe they'll clean up the rest. But if you check into Enbridge pipelines, you'll find they've had over 300 tar spills. That pipe is from China. It's a cheaper quality steel, and it cannot take the dirty, gritty bitumen in the tar oil. So it doesn't matter who has those pipelines. It matters what the pipe is made out of. And even if it's the best quality steel made in Canada or the United States, that tar oil shouldn't be shipped in it through pressure, because it's not if it will leak, it is where it will leak and when it will leak, because it's a constant. Over 300 leaks for Enbridge alone. Just check with the First Nations in the Northwest Territories. Most of this information is not getting to mainstream media, and there's a reason for that. That's why we have to look harder for the news, what's going on in the streets, what's going on in small towns, because the corporations have more money than the government, and the corporations, as far as Stephen Harper is concerned, are his boss. He's not going to listen to us. I see a lot of blogs and websites where people from the States are hating Canadians, hating us. Don't hate the Canadians. Hate our Prime Minister and help us get rid of him. We in Canada are trying our best to do something about it, but we're helpless. Our hands are tied. He makes up rules and laws. He sends the police SWAT teams out if we protest. He finds so many ways to shut us up. Lately, it was Bill C-30, masked as a bill to help authorities search for child molesters. That's how it was packaged. Bill C-30 is much more than that. It's a bill to allow the government and its powers to look into your very own emails. Already, people have been arrested just because they spoke out against Stephen Harper. That's how serious it is. The whole world's in a balance of flux right now. And the person whose hand's on the red button is Stephen Harper. And how do we get to this position? Every single person out there who has children is responsible to do something. And yes, you can do something. And if you don't agree with this news, I dare you, please, go and look into opinions and points of view that you don't agree with. You'll find out a lot of things when you look at the other side of the news. If you want to see the list of chemicals and the phone numbers, I urge you to go to YouTube and type in John Bolenbaugh's name, Bolenbaugh. I'm doing this because I want you to go and look at those videos for yourself, rather than me just read off the information. Thanks for listening. Redefining Radio.
Synchro Radio.